With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, so is Rob Reichel of Forbes.com and Conley Media. Hello, Rob.
Rob, what's up, man?
Hello, boys. How are we doing today?
Well, it's always better. Always better when you're in here talking Packers football with us on a Thursday, especially when it's a game of this magnitude. Rob, before we get into this exact matchup, we were talking a little bit earlier in the hour. What comes to your mind when you hear Packers and Niners? You've been around this team for so long. Which game to you immediately sticks in your mind?
January 6, 1996, Billy. Leroy remembers it well. Green Bay goes to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 95 season, guys. It's the divisional playoff round. 49ers are 10.5 point favorites. Early in the game, Wayne Simmons forces a strip fumble. Craig Newsom picks it up, returns it for a touchdown. Green Bay jumps to a 21-0 lead, rolls from there, wins 27-17. It was really a changing of the guard. I mean, Leroy can talk about it all day, I'm sure, but it was, you know, the conference guys for years and years had been San Francisco and Dallas, years when Green Bay went to San Francisco. I think San Francisco guys that year was 14-2. They were the number one seed, and Leroy's team went out there and really handed it to them. I watched that game again a few days ago because I have all those old games on tape because I'm a dork. And the Wayne Simmons, Brent Jones matchup, guys, in that game, and again, Leroy remembers this extremely well, was one of the all-time greats in Packer history to me. And RIP Wayne Simmons, because what he did that day to Brent Jones was just remarkable. And what the Packers did that day was pretty remarkable. So that to me, Billy, is the number one game. And I wrote a thing at Forbes a few days ago, guys, just outlining. There have been some unbelievable games. The Owens game, you know, a couple years later, the NFC Championship game there in 97. I mean, the list goes on and on. The Kaepernick game where he had 444 total yards. It's a remarkable series. It really is. You could argue that San Francisco has been Green Bay's greatest rival the last quarter century, guys. Yeah. And certainly the magnitude of the games would back that up. But Billy, you know, the one to me that kind of changed everything in Green Bay was that divisional game in 1995.
Yeah, don't forget, now Steve talked about the fumble by Jerry Rice. Remember that one, Rob?
Yeah, that was all part of the Owens game.
That would have been the game right there.
It should have never came down to that last Steve Young throw. And Leroy, of course, you remember it well. Mike Holmgren was a big part of the committee back then on the rules committee, and Ron Wolf was adamant afterwards, and livid about how that changed. And we got instant replay almost immediately after that because you guys don't lose that game if instant replay is part of the fabric, back in the 1998 playoffs. But, that game should have never come down to that 26-yard touchdown by Steve Young to Owens. Of course, it should have never come to that in the first place, right, Leroy?
Yeah, no question about it.
If Pat Carell plays that ball a little better, if a lot of things happen, there's no way that you guys had dropped eight. There's no way that ball should have got through. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah, and I think that's when you look at these two teams now, by them flexing this game, it's a big game on many fronts, but it can really set precedent on how the NFC is going to start to match up. I mean, because teams normally, and I remember Ray Rose used to tell us this all the time, in November, that's the movement month. You got to win the two or three games you have in November because that can really put you in a position to make the playoffs or seeding or whatever. But if you can go there and win in San Francisco, now this time they're going to travel on Saturday. Now, do you think there's a difference between them traveling on Friday and Saturday?
Well, I still think they'll have plenty of time to get done what they want to before the game gets here, Leroy. And obviously, this is based on how horrendously the last trip west went with the LA Chargers game when they went out on a Friday. And, you know, so much has been made about how they spent their time leading up to the game. The fact that this game got flexed to 7:20 on Sunday night, and they're going to be out there plenty early on Saturday to still get done all their pregame work, and it's one less night to worry about, mm-hmm. you know, these guys running around a little bit on the town on the West Coast and things like that. I think that's a positive. I think Matt LaFleur, in essence, admitted, you know, by changing the schedule or flying out a day later this time, that, you know, his plan of attack for that Charger game wasn't maybe the best move in terms of how he wants to handle this moving forward. But, you're right in terms of the movement month, Leroy. And if you look at it from a Green Bay perspective, you know, with the Bears and the Lions potentially having backup quarterbacks on the field late in the year, with two games yet mm-hmm. against the Giants and the Redskins who are starting rookie quarterbacks, I mean, Green Bay is going to be a 7 to 11 point favorite probably in all four of those games. That if they find a way to split those two road games, then, you know, take care of business in the games you're supposed to win, and then, yep. then split the games with San Francisco and Minnesota. We're talking 13-3, and that's a great chance for a number one, certainly a number two seed.
As of right now, when you look at this Packers roster as it currently sits, who do you think is a Pro Bowl player off of this roster? We were talking about it, what was it, last week or earlier this week, about Aaron Jones and how he stacks up against other running mm-hmm. backs in the NFC. So who would be your Pro Bowlers?
Ooh, who are my Pro Bowlers? Well, probably both Smiths on defense, guys.
Oh, no question about that.
Balaga's had a better year than Bakhtiari, although it's tougher for a right tackle to get in than a left tackle, but I'd probably vote him. I would certainly vote Aaron Jones. Who am I missing, guys?
Devontae, but he was hurt.
I'm saying it again.
Devontae, but he was hurt.
Yeah, he's been hurt.
I don't think he can rally here in the last six games. These are the kind of numbers he's going to need to go to the Pro Bowl. I hadn't studied the NFC quarterbacks, but off the top of my head, Russell clearly, you know, Rodgers will go, guys. He's had a really strong year, as I think about it. I mean,
mm-hmm. yeah, you got
in the top
you got
five for,
yeah, you got Russell Wilson
top five for MVP. He'll go there with Russell and
yeah, and Dak Prescott or Jimmy G.
Yeah, and Dak, right? That would certainly make the most sense. Those three. You know, guys, beyond that, I'm nobody else really jumps out. I think Alexander's year hasn't been quite what we all thought and maybe expected it to be. You know, Kenny Clark's played good football. I don't know if he's at a Pro Bowl level quite yet. I would say those two guys, the two Smiths on defense, Rodgers, Jones, and probably Bulaga, the way it shapes up now, although he's probably not going to get to the Pro Bowl, guys, but he might be an All-Pro, and that's Elton Jenkins, who's yeah. had a heck of a year, and his numbers are going to be, you know, if he keeps this up, his numbers in terms of, you know, the fewest pressures and sacks and all that allowed at his position are going to be off the charts. But he's not going to have the name recognition, guys, to go to the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. But All-Pro actually means more to all these guys because that's voted on where you take the fans out of the equation a little bit, and it's scouts and it guys that study tape a little bit more. And Jenkins, I would think, has a real good chance at that one.
And that would be yep. another Packers offensive lineman that goes on the All-Pro team instead of the Pro Bowl roster, as David Bakhtiari knows that all too well. Talking with Rob Reichel, Forbes.com and Conley Media here on the Wendy's Big Show about the Green Bay Packers and San Francisco 49ers. You talked about it there at the left guard spot. They're set. Elton Jenkins is going to be a mainstay, Robin. For him to be able to do what he's done, switching positions from center to guard, coming in his first year in the NFL, yep. and just dominating, have been really impressive. But on that other side, I don't think Billy Turner is as much of a liability as some will say. But if there's going to be a spot to attack the Packers in the pressure game this week for the Niners, it's going to be right there at Billy Turner, and I think at Brian Bulaga as well. They're going to send a lot of DeForest Buckner, it feels like, their way. Is there a sense of a couple of matchups where you could see this game turning one way or another?
Yeah, and Billy, the one thing that San Francisco does really well, I mean, they're going to rotate seven guys probably
right.
in front, and they really don't fall off dramatically. I mean, they list Bosa as a backup, for God's sakes, and he could be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year, right?
It's incredible.
Yeah, that is amazing.
The Defensive Rookie of the Year. But they'll flip-flop these guys inside and out. I mean, they'll bring Bosa, you know, up the middle at times and things to that effect. So they're going to move people and parts around. You know, they've got five first-round draft picks that they're going to rotate, you know, through that front seven, guys. It's a pretty frightening proposition for offensive linemen. I mean, really, I think the key, as much as anything, Billy, is those those tackles have to hold up one-on-one. And they've done it for the most part. I mean, if you look at the murderer's role that they faced through the course of the year, Denver's two guys early in the year, the Eagles bring terrific guys, Minnesota, Chicago with Mack earlier in the year. You know, Bakhtiari hasn't had quite the year he's had the last couple, but Malaga's been close to, you know, as close to terrific as you can be at the right tackle spot, other than some penalties in some recent weeks. But if those tackles guys can hold up outside, they can block 3-on-2 up the middle, and then San Francisco has to start bringing an extra man, and Rodgers can try to pick them apart in blitz situations. Rodgers loves doing that, as you guys well know. Then I think Green Bay can win the day. The other thing I think that Green Bay really has to do, Billy, is they've got to get that run game going right away. If you look at the 49ers over the last month, they've given up 100-yard days to Christian McCaffrey, to Drake in Arizona. Last week, Murray and Drake both had about 70 yards. You know, Carson had close to 100 yards with Seattle when they played a few weeks back. So San Francisco is a little bit vulnerable in the run game. And if Green Bay can get Jones and Williams going early, get a lead on these guys, and kind of play from ahead and run the football, that's going to be huge, because obviously that's how San Francisco wants to play against Green Bay. They want Rodgers and Adams and Jones and Bulaga and all those guys to stay on the sideline. If Green Bay can kind of flip that narrative, guys, and give the 49ers a taste of their own medicine, I think that's real key to them winning the football game.
Yeah, last one for me. I don't know if Billy's going to ask you for a prediction or not, but my thing is, who would you take? Would you take Shanahan and Jimmy G, or would you take Rodgers and LaFleur?
Can I take Shanahan and Rodgers?
No.
Here's the smartest guy in the room.
It's a great question. I think Shanahan has jumped into the, you know, discussion of the top 5 to 8 coaches in the league.
No
clearly
question.
Rodgers has a huge advantage at this point over Jimmy G, and LaFleur is still working his way up the ranks in year one, and I think we've got to see a greater body of work before we formulate any kind of opinion on him. I mean, Shanahan, I think Shanahan's maybe the number one reason for Jimmy G's success. And you know, if you watch some of the motion and variety and plays and the matchups that Shanahan can create, I mean, LeRoy, this guy's not making the most difficult throws at times for his 40 and 50 yard completions. It's a lot team related. I mean, this Shanahan is remarkably bright. He's as sharp as his dad was, and maybe then some. He's vaulted himself into the elite level of coaches, and I don't think LaFleur is quite there yet. That doesn't mean he won't get there, guys. But you know, I think the gap between Rodgers and Garoppolo is larger than the gap between Shanahan and LaFleur. So I guess to that question, LeRoy, I take Green Bay's guys just by a nose.
Yep, I would agree.
How about this week, Rob? Packers getting 3 on the road, so Vegas looking at the two teams essentially as a pick 'em.
You know, great point, Billy. The one thing that Green Bay, I was talking to some people about this earlier in the day. Green Bay's 8-2, but they've had some good fortune along the way, I think, to get there. Missing Mahomes in Kansas City, right? I mean, squeaking one out against Carolina when McCaffrey's a foot short of the goal line and things like that. This to me is a really tough test going out west and trying to beat these guys. And anybody that doesn't, you know, buy into San Francisco right now and believe they're the real deal, I think it's mistaken, guys. I think they are. I think they're remarkably well coached. I think they're dramatically better on defense than Green Bay is. I think that's going to be the key to the football game. Can Green Bay get off the field on third down? Can Green Bay get ahead? And I'm not sure they can, guys. I think San Francisco's run game, and regardless if Kittle plays or not, they're deep at tight end. They've got people that can really hurt the Packers from that position. And Green Bay's done a really bad job of covering tight ends for the most part through this year. So if you're asking for a number, Billy, I'm going to go 27-23 San Francisco. That doesn't mean Green Bay can't win the game, but they've got to get Jones going early.
Well, George Kittle plays. Oh, boy. Oof.
And if Kittle, you know, Kittle's really the wild card in this.
Oh, my goodness.
Even Debo Samuel, LeRoy. I mean, a lot of their weapons are pretty banged up. But I'm going to still go with San Francisco. I think they're going to treat this like a Super Bowl. And I think this is as good of a team as Green Bay has faced. And And I like the home team by a nose in this game, guys.
Rob, appreciate it, man.
Good stuff, Rob.
Can't wait to watch it all unfold. I mean, it's just going to be a tremendous game, and we'll talk next week. We'll see where the dust settles, and we'll talk on Thursday.
All right, that sounds good. Ask Leroy some more stuff about that 95 divisional game. That's an all-timer.
Unbelievable.
That's an amazing one. Rob, appreciate it, buddy. Take it easy. Have
all right,
a good weekend.
Guys. All right.
That's Rob Reichel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from Forbes and Conley Media. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.